Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation. The men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of the police and fire services, the doctors and nurses and first responders of COVID, and the wonderful people in the supermarkets that keep those shelves stocked during the pandemic. Tonight's program is dedicated to two gentlemen from Polk County. It seems last night they pulled an officer pulled up on a gentleman who was living in his car in a park, and the park was supposed to be closed at 9 o'clock. However, at 11:30, he was still there. When she approached the car, the man put his window down just so much, saying he was a sovereign citizen, didn't have to pay any attention to anybody. She decided to call for backup, Lieutenant Gary Anderson and Patrol Deputy Mike Phelps. Showed up on the scene with two FTOs with them. At that time, when they tried to open the door, the gentleman fired and shot Sergeant Anderson in the right shoulder, going through past his vest and into his chest. He's in critical but stable condition at this point. And Phillips was shot four times in the arm. The responding deputies then emptied clips into the person in the car for their own safety. They had no idea what they had in there. So tonight's program is dedicated to those two brave officers, as well as the men and women of the Polk County Sheriff's Department who do a great job. Well, Tony, Z's
yes,
on here
sir.
With us, and I think I know what your thoughts are, but let's just get our technical expert to explain the Haney fight last week. Mr. Expert, can you explain that?
Well, first of all, I want to say hello, gentlemen. Good to be here with you guys again. It's a simple thing. Boxing is a contact sport. And sometimes the contact, as much skill as you have, the contact matters. There's a few things there. The first thing is this. You have to have a level of toughness in this sport. Devin Haney has it. He has it. He has it in his heart. His shell is a different story. He's a guy. I mean, he has the dog in him, but I mean, he doesn't have the dog on him. His shell is weaker than his heart, unfortunately. Ryan Garcia is a very hard hitter, but he's still limited on a professional level. He's still limited. And the crazy part is, once you get to this elite level, Devin Haney, he fought Lomachenko. He beat Lomachenko. It was a close fight, but you know, I thought he deserved the win on the card. He beat Lomachenko. Once you see that amount of skill level, to get hit with the same thing, it lets me know that the power, it got to him psychologically. Everybody could say, well, Ryan Garcia, you know, the way he was before he came in the fight, people were worried that they should call the fight off because of his mental state. And I did not fall for that. I didn't fall for that. Mm-hmm. And even the 3 pounds over, I think that was, you know, premeditated, because Haney is notorious for coming in and rehydrating, you know, very heavy. So Ryan Garcia, you know, he premeditated that, gave up the money, and he took a very, very calculated risk. It was a very heavy risk on his part, but it paid off. I mean, he had to pay a lot of money, but it paid off for the fight. And it didn't drain him. The 3 pounds, I mean, as far as hitting power, Ryan Garcia hits hard, but he was able to get to Haney in the later rounds. And part of that, I think, is Haney, which you know, I'll briefly hurry up and explain. Haney, he got caught with the deer in the headlight syndrome. He got hit in the first round, and he got the game plan punched out of him. He didn't, you know, there's some things, even when he was successful, he was successful because of Ryan Garcia to the most part. If Ryan Garcia had a little bit of anything else, I mean, it would have legitimately probably put Devin Haney to sleep if he had a little bit of anything else. So, I mean, Devin Haney, you know, I credit him with his heart, but he got the game plan punched out of him.
Right. Tony?
It's a long, long, long story with this one, because there's a couple different avenues this one's going. Z's right on the money there. The only difference is, they're now investigating Harvey Dock because he allowed that. He allowed Haney to stay in the fight when he should have stopped the fight. There's a lot of stuff going around right now about it. There was also some leaked audio this week of Devin Haney's father and Harvey Dock talking about basically giving his son some help, but doing it in a nonchalant way. I don't know who recorded it, but it is out there. It's all over YouTube. So supposedly now they're doing an investigation and also a criminal investigation into whether or not it was some kind of a fake setup. And if so, the word is right now, and I can't confirm it right now, but from what I've seen, Devin Haney's under suspension right now as of this moment. And the difference in the Lomachenko fight and the Haney fight and with what Z was saying, this is my opinion on it. Lomachenko's not really a knockout artist, in my opinion. Neither is Devin Haney. And I've always said Devin Haney, I didn't think he was that great of a fighter. And then I had to eat a little crow after that because he won the title and he won, you know, something else after that. But Z nailed it. Z said he got it in his heart, which he does, because he kept getting up and he got his ass beat. I don't care what anybody says. His ass got beat. And he got beat bad. In fact, supposedly he had a broken jaw on top of everything else. So if this is all true, we're going to have a major problem here in the very near future with this. Also, on another note, Ryan Garcia has come out to say that, you know, everybody thought he was crazy and all this other stuff, and he's got all the proof in the pudding for the last several months of what he was planning. And Bernard Hopkins, I think there was someone else. It wasn't Oscar, but Bernard Hopkins was behind it. And they were going to make him look mentally ill and all that for the Vegas stats, all this stuff to, you know, lean for him to be the underdog, like, by far. And he came in and absolutely just annihilated Haney and started laughing about it, showing all the proof of what he's been doing the last couple of months. So my hat's off to him. That boy's a genius. He made $10 million extra money because he bet on himself, which was part of the reason why he did what he did, act crazy. So the man's a genius.
Right. You know, it's funny you say that because I was talking to Bernard Fernandez earlier this week. By the way, everybody, just to let you know, Mrs. Fernandez is still in hospice. She's hanging in there, but she's in a lot of pain. So he wanted me to tell everybody that thank you for all your prayers and thoughts. But he also said that that shtick was all set up by Hopkins. He says he's a master of it. He did it for himself to promote himself, and he's doing it with the Golden Boy fighters. And that lends in right into what you were saying, Tony, about the obnoxious play at sometimes talk and drinking beer before the fight. That was all part of the shtick. So you guys are both right on with that one. Z, what do you think about Tim Zhu with Virgil Ortiz coming up on in 8-3?
I think that's going to be a wonderful fight to me. I think it's going to be a wonderful fight. Both guys are not, they're not running guys. They're not going to run from you. They're not going to dance around you. Virgil Ortiz is a little more, he's a little smoother with it. Tim Zhu, a little more pressure and to try to put it on you. But Virgil Ortiz will stand in the pocket effectively with you. So, he has a little more hand speed to me than Tim Zhu. But Tim Zhu is a bit more meaningful. Ortiz can outwork Tim Zhu, Tim Zhu can start to get to Ortiz. This could be a very interesting fight to me.
Okay. Tony?
I agree 100%. I think this is going to be an awesome fight. And after what I just saw Tim Zhu go through, I think Virgil Ortiz might pull this one off with no problem.
Okay. How about Josh Taylor versus Jack Cottrell, Zeke?
I don't know what Josh Taylor has left. I know this is a rematch.
Right.
I'm not sure what Josh Taylor has left. It's hard for me to pick Josh Taylor in this one, but you never know how this is going to go. It's still close, but it's hard for me to favor Josh Taylor. Just he's on that downhill decline, so he's not going to be, to me, he's not going to be as good as he was in his last fight. So it's hard for me to favor him.
Okay. Tony?
Well, I think we talked about it briefly last week, and I kind of leaned towards Josh Taylor on it. And we actually, Z nailed that last week, too, because he says it kind of depends on what he's got in him, what's left. Kind of declining and kind of going downhill a little bit. But for some reason, I just got this feeling he's going to come back on this one. It may be the last time, but I'm going to lean towards him. I think he's going to be able to pull it off. It may not be by much, but I think he's going to win it.
Okay. See, let me ask you a question now. Going back to the Haney fight, because Garcia came in 3 pounds overweight, Haney retains the title. If he's on suspension, does he still retain the title, or does the title revert to somebody else?
Well, it depends what kind of suspension he's on, and I think he might be under medical suspension, just because he went through during that fight, during the fight, it's a certain protocol to where he can't get back in the ring for a certain amount of months. I think that may be more the case, because to suspend him for anything else, they would have to probably do a little bit of investigating. And it's kind of fast mm-hmm. for them to do that to me. We'll have to see. But as far as that goes, Haney, the thing with him, he's going to have to fight big names. That's what he's been doing. I mean, he's been mm-hmm. looking to fight big names. What big name does he have next? Is it going to be Ryan Garcia again? Because they're not going to fight at 140 anymore. They both are struggling to make 140. So in the future, they will not meet at 140. If it's 147, maybe 145, we have to see. Devin Haney, as far as 140, I see him relinquishing those titles and having to move up. Just because, you know, we talk about Ryan Garcia can't make it. Devin Haney, as far as 140 go, he's done. He's not going to keep making 140 either. So these guys are going to move up. They're going to have to move up to welterweight. And we're going to see what's going on there with him.
Okay. Tony, there's a contract out there, Deontay Wilder and Tim Zhang, to be done later part of this year. Putting those two together, what's your thoughts?
Well, Deontay is one of my favorite fighters. I love Deontay Wilder. I'll always love him, whether he wins, loses, it doesn't matter. My girlfriend and I will sit here and just watch that, and it just every time we see Deontay, we're like, hell yeah, you know, waiting for that big right hook to just come around and knock somebody out. But unfortunately, he's been declining pretty bad, and I don't think he's going to make a comeback. And it seemed to happen right after that Luis Ortiz fight. I believe it was Ortiz. Maybe it was one after that. But I don't think he's going to have a chance against Zhang at all. I don't think it's one of them's getting knocked out, and it's going to really depend on if Deontay could go past maybe 6 or 7 rounds, which normally he's not real good at, and get Zhang, you know, into that later part of the round, maybe still have enough to knock him out. That'd be about the way it would happen. Otherwise, I predict Deontay going down. Because, as you know, Zhang is a bad dude. If he hits him one good time, Deontay's done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Z?
I would favor Zhang at this point just because of Deontay's recent form. I have to agree with Tony to a certain extent. I think Deontay, after the first Tyson Fury fight, that was almost the best of Deontay to me, the first Tyson Fury fight. After that, he took a beating in the second and the third fight, and I think that had an effect on him to a certain extent. He's not pulling the trigger as fast, and we saw that against Joseph Parker, and Deontay has faced power punchers, and Joseph Parker is not a power puncher. He's a active guy. He works a lot, and he has good lungs. And he didn't pull the trigger against Joseph Parker. Mm-hmm. Speaking of good lungs, let's talk about Zhang. If Zhang doesn't do it early, and Deontay has any of his form left, Zhang's in trouble. One thing Deontay has late power. Ask Tyson Fury. Deontay has late power. He has round 12 power. And he's not a guy who fights. He fights relaxed, which helps him. And he's not a guy who fights at a high volume. So he doesn't burn himself out, and the pressure doesn't get to him as much. With that said, he has to worry early, because if he's not going to pull the trigger, Zhang will. And Zhang is just as big as Deontay. Zhang is heavier, but he's just as long and tall as Deontay. So that Deontay has to worry early. Zhang has to worry as soon as his lungs give out, if Deontay has any form left. But I have to lean with Zhang.
Okay. Well, right, let me ask you, Z, let's get back to you with Matthias Nicolo, Louis, and Alex Perez tonight on MMA.
Oh, I'm familiar with Alex Perez. I'm not familiar with the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I go, Alex Perez, it depends. It depends. If the other guy's up and coming, it's going to be some issues. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Tony, Brandon Adams versus Ismael Villanueva. What do you think about that one? That's another UFC fight.
I'm not real big on either one. I don't know as well as Z does, but I know of Ismael more, I think. And you said it was Brandon. What was Brandon's last name again?
Adam.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking somebody else. I know of Ismael, and from what I know of Brandon, and I think Ismael will pull this off. I can't tell you how. I'm not real into that that side of things, but I'm sure Z could pinpoint it. But I know Ismael is definitely a good fighter. I think if I was a betting man, that'd be the way I'd be going.
Okay. Z?
From the little bit I know, I have to agree with Tony. I'm not really familiar with either guy. I've heard of him sparsely, but, as far as that goes, I have to agree with Tony.
Okay. What do you think about it's all trash talk, of course, about the Conor McGregor conditioning. Is he going to be a better fighter than Michael Chandler in this fight, given the fact that, McGregor's been off, 3 years now? Going through a couple of broken bones besides lawsuits? Zeke?
I'm sorry, I don't have any more faith in Conor McGregor. I think he has he's a very talented guy, but I think he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He had a horrible injury on the way to being done to me. On the way to being, like, he has the heart to fight, but I think he's lost his spirit to a certain extent. I think the Floyd Mayweather fight kind of ruined his fighting spirit. He hasn't really fought. And Michael Chandler has fought. It's simple that Michael Chandler right now has been getting his ring experience. So recent ring experience, that means something. Conor is talented. But so is Michael Chandler. Conor's bigger, but Michael Chandler is, they fought before. So it's not an unfamiliar, setting. Now, Conor, he's not as explosive as he was. How's this injury going to affect Conor? There's too many questions to me with Conor. And, as far as that goes, his fight dedication. He's been out the ring for 3 years, and part of that has been because of him. Part of that has been because of him. And so I don't know where that lays at, but I know where Michael Chandler, where his heart and dedication lays. So.
Okay. Tony, we got next week. We got the Alvarez Mongoya fight on the 4th of May.
Well, that one's going to be an interesting fight. I believe Mongoya is undefeated, if I'm not mistaken, and I think Z and I both agree. He's basically been the knuckle dragger of boxing. Never really got into him because I never really cared to watch it. It just wasn't entertaining. He's brought it a lot more down here in the last year, getting in there and actually hitting hard and fighting and showing what he had, where before he was just walking around with his hands dragging across the mat. He's fighting Canelo this time, who's going to come in. That's also been going downhill to some degree. If Canelo comes in, keeps his stamina and keeps his power and can land a shot on Munguia, which is going to be really hard to do, I think Canelo could possibly knock him out and drop him for the first time. But then that also goes the other way. Munguia, mm-hmm. with his power lately, from what I'm seeing, if he could get a hold of Canelo, who can move around real well, which is also going to be hard to do, he could easily drop mm-hmm. Canelo, and obviously Canelo's been dropped. So
mm-hmm.
I honestly, I'd love to see Munguia lose this fight. I just don't like the way things go with him and the way they promote him. And I've never really been a huge Canelo guy either, but I really want Canelo to win this fight. I think I have to lean a little bit towards Munguia winning it, though.
Okay. See?
With Canelo and Munguia, Munguia is young, younger than Canelo. He's not young anymore, but he's younger than Canelo, and he still has that young – he still fights with that young spirit. He's learned some things. He's learned some things. He's active, and he's heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with that said, he has a size advantage over Canelo. As I say, the youth advantage. He has the lung advantage over Canelo. He has a conditioning advantage over Canelo. If Jaime can make that work for him, he's going to give Canelo hell. Because it's going to be those moments where Canelo's going to need to breathe. He's going to need to – because every fight with Canelo, it comes down to where he's going to take the rounds off and he's going to create as many dead spaces as possible. Jaime Munguia mm-hmm. is active, and he could work through that and make – you know, just tax Canelo's lungs. I don't see a mm-hmm. knockout either way. Unless, but I could actually, I mean, it depends where Jaime's at. If Jaime, if he fights a little smarter, then he could, as I said, he could give Canelo hell. I'm not sure if he could win, just because I don't think he's at that level. But
mm-hmm.
Jaime has to also worry about running into stuff and getting beat up himself. Jaime's not a guy who needs to be on the back foot. Not against Canelo.
Right.
He's not a guy who Canelo's stalking him and you're trying to outbox him with range. Jaime's not that kind of boxer to where maybe in spurts, that, you know, he could do that. But as far as a game plan, that I think would be kind of counter to what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to really just kind of not take it to Canelo, but really tax Canelo, really amp the contact up to a certain degree. Make Canelo have to work every minute of every round. But if Jaime's good to do that, he's going to, you know, it's going to be a good fight. As I said, I'm not mm-hmm. sure he could beat Canelo because Canelo is cleaner. And just as far as just on that level, I think Canelo's just better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tony, Callum Walsh is returning to the ring on June 7th against Ortiz. What's your thoughts?
Ortiz is going to take that one, and I don't think that's even going to be a hard fight. I'm not real big on the first guy there, but Ortiz, well, I think he'll be able to pull it off, no problem at all.
Okay. See?
I once again have to agree with Tony there. I have to give the edge to Ortiz.
Okay. All right, we got Tank Davis has got a fight coming up with Frank Martin in June 15th. What's your thoughts on that one, Zeke?
It's going to be a good fight until, to me. Frank Martin, he's pretty good. He's live, but I think that he's going to create that opening that he can't eat. Tank is really, really patient. That's dangerous. He's patient with power. And he's not a slow-handed guy. Tank hits hard. Tank has very fast hands. The thing with Tank is his stature. Tank has to be patient. But He's patient, and you'll give it to Tank. He's patient enough to where you'll give it to him. Ryan Garcia, Rolly Romero, these guys are giving it up to Tank, and he's gladly taking it. You know, he's taking it, you know, as much advantage as you can. He stops fights.
Mm-hmm.
I see that happening with Martin. Frank Martin's good and athletic enough to where he's going to give Tank a little bit of trouble, but he's not as clean as some of the guys that Tank has fought. And he's not clean around. Rolly Romero's not the cleanest guy either. Martin's cleaner than Rolly, but, I mean, Tank's fought Pitbull. Pitbull, despite his fighting style, is a very, very effective boxer. You know, people say, oh, he's fought the hits hard. Yeah, Joe Frazier was a beautiful boxer. You know, boxing is not always outside and dance and jab around. Boxing is footwork to get inside and get your effective punches off. So, I mean, as far as that goes, Tank is an extremely effective boxer. But, you know, him and Terrence Crawford are kind of in the same mode. Once the guys see it, they tend to hit you with the kill shot. They don't work it, you know, they'll see it, and then they'll measure it up, and then they hit you with the kill shot. Those two guys, I'll give it to those two guys. They're hard to beat because they take full advantage of what you give them. And guys like that, you just don't, and they're not easy to win. And I just see the same thing happening with Frank Martin.
Okay. Tony, we get Virgil Ortiz and Thomas DeLome on 5/17. What's your thoughts?
Virgil Ortiz, I still think he's just, you know, a bad to the bone fighter. I think he's not going to even have any trouble with this at all. I mean, I don't even really know why they would even put him together. That's just my opinion. But, Virgil Ortiz 100%.
Okay. B?
Well, this isn't the same Ortiz that's fighting Zhu, right?
No.
Okay. I'm going to put it this way. DeLorme right now is a guy putting in as an opponent. He's an opponent. He still has his name, but for years, for quite a few years, he's been put in strictly as an opponent. He has his few bright moments, but he's a guy that when you're up and coming, you go ahead and get Thomas DeLorme. So I kind of don't see DeLorme winning. Unfortunately, he's still making money, and he's managed to survive this long, you know, doing this. So, I mean, I wish him the best, but I don't see him winning.
Okay. Tony, what do you think about Derevchenko? Alexander coming up, Sergey Derevchenko.
And Alexander, you said?
Yeah.
I really don't know a lot about either one. I've seen them both. They just didn't really. It wasn't intriguing to me to stay in and watch those two. But Sergey, good fighter. I think he'll be able to win this one hands down without any issues. I mean, he might have a little bit of a problem, but he'll win. I don't think there'll be any problem with that one.
Okay. Z?
I was high on Sergey Derevchenko for a while. I thought he won the decision against Gennady Golovkin when they fought. I thought he won the decision in a recent fight against Jaime Munguia when they fought. But Sergey Derevchenko is small for his weight. He's been a small middleweight, and I'm not sure if this fight may be taking place at 168 super middleweight, which he's even smaller for.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, he's a guy that you just don't beat. He's a guy you don't beat easy, and you have problems with. Danny Dukas had problems with him. Gennady Golovkin had problems with him. Jaime Munguia had problems with him. The only guy who didn't have a problem with him was Charlo, if I'm correct, Jamal Charlo.
Mm-hmm.
The only guy who didn't have a problem, who actually, who handled Derevchenko pretty good. And Derevchenko is a guy who's extremely skilled. At the moment, he's gotten older. And everything that comes with that. He's never been the hardest. He has very respectable power, better than Devin Haney. Not to knock Devin Haney, but he has, not Paulie Mahanaji power. The guy has planted feet, respectable power, but he's not a knockout guy. He's not a knockout guy. He's a durable guy, but he can be dropped just because he's light for the weight. But I like Derevchenko. I'm not too sure what Alexander has, but to me, it all depends on what Derevchenko has. Every fight he's in, it depends what he has to be. So, he's older, as I say, and he's slowing down, but his mental game last time I saw him, his mental game was perfect. So, it's hard to bet against that unless you see significant, slowdown. I've seen him slow down, but not significant enough to not still be on a high level. So, I lean toward Derevchenko until I see otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about Robert Whittaker and Hamet Chimaev?
Hazmat Chimaev, if I'm correct. Hazmat is I don't pick Whittaker. I like Whittaker while they're standing to a certain extent, and that's Whittaker gets hit. But I don't see. Whittaker's a guy who earns his spot, but he's a guy who, he'll lose to certain elites. He'll lose to the most elite.
Uh-huh.
He's a guy on his feet. Whittaker, I'm not sure it's explosive, but he's gotten smarter. He's changed his game a little bit, but he's still a guy who can get rocked, still a guy, you can get to a certain extent. And I see him just being a little too, not having enough to stop what Hazmat wants to do, what Chimaev wants to do. I just don't see him having enough. And Hazmat's coming up, and I think Whitaker's coming down. That's kind of a bad. I think it's a bad style matchup. Just a bad timing matchup. So I do not pick Whitaker.
Okay, Tony, we got. Benavides and Gazzandi, June 15th.
I think they put that one together just because Benavides has been trying to fight bigger and badder people, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody turned him down here recently, and I think it was due to them being scared of Benavides. So this fight, is nothing more than a tune-up fight, keep him in – keep him going. He's not going to have any problem winning this fight.
Okay. See?
If it's David Benavidez, then it'll be a keep busy fight. As far as what Tony said, the guy who does it, I think he's trying to make it either as big as he can, or he's playing the Tank Davis, with Javante Davis card, to where this guy is not a natural 168-pounder. And so he's going to, he's a bigger guy naturally. He would probably, it's hard for me to – at times you do have the right to duck people, and I can't knock Canelo this time just because he moved up in weight to fight Bivol. That there took as much kahunas as I think that any fighter has, that he moved up into his division to fight him. With that said, I don't think he wants to do that again. And he would more than likely, even if he fought Benavidez at 168, Benavidez is going to rehydrate very, very significantly bigger than Canelo is. He's a bigger guy, period. I think for Canelo to take that fight, he has to wait. He's trying to maximize the money to me. He's trying to build it up. So I don't think he's afraid of Benavidez. I just think he's trying to play it smart right now. And Jaime Munguia fight is, to me, relatively smart. Now, it could prove to be, you know, dangerous, but we all pretty much know it's not as dangerous as Benavidez fight right now. So I think Canelo, he's just kind of, you know, gauging what's going on as far as Benavidez goes, what weight he's going to be, and, you know, he'll take it from there.
Right. Okay. Tony, what do you think about Ismael Madrinov versus Terrence Crawford, August 3rd?
That's going to be a great fight, and it could go either way, just only because it's going to be a great fight, period. But I'm leaning on – I know everybody's going to say Terrence Crawford is the man and all that. He's great. He's proved himself. He took out Errol Spence, which really pissed me off because I love Errol Spence. But he won it fair and square. This time, I think Madrimov is going to be able to win this fight. I really strongly believe he will beat Terrence Crawford.
Okay. Z, how old do you think Jesse Hart is?
How old?
Yeah.
Jesse, it is maybe mid-30s. Maybe 32, 33.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
He's got another fight coming up. He's got a fight coming up in Philly there. I'm going to see if I can't get Bam to get tickets for you guys to see the fight.
Yeah,
Jesse Hart versus Daniel Aduko. You have any thoughts on that one?
Really, it depends what Jesse Hart has left. Jesse Hart at one time was at a high level. I remember him fighting, was it Romero or Roberto? I forget his name. They had a dual match. They had a rematch. But Jesse Hart is one of the, like, he's a talented guy. He's a very talented guy. And I like watching him fight. I mean, he's a guy who, first of all, he's going to excite. I have not ever seen a boy, even when he's lost, I haven't seen a boring Jesse Hart fight. When he's won, blowing people out, I haven't seen a boring Jesse Hart fight.
It seems like, I guess, Russell Peltz has finally decided to hang it up, and all he's doing is the publicity for Bam, and she evidently is taking over the matchmaking and setting fights up. And I was surprised that they were going back up to the Leah Chorus Center because, you know, what's his name, owns part of that. He and Hopkins own part of the South Philly gym that they've been going to. But I'll see if I can't get a hold of her and see if I can get that worked out. Tony, Brandon Figueroa versus Jesse Magdaleno in May.
I like Brandon. I was maybe 2 years ago, I think, when he won a title or something, I was watching, and I don't watch a whole lot of MMA, but I did watch that one, and I really like him, and he is a bad dude. I feel he's probably gotten better, even though I really haven't kept my eyes on him, but I would definitely lean that direction because that man's got a heart of gold, man. He doesn't quit. He just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll take it.
Yeah, what do you think, Z?
It's going to be a heck of a fight. I mean, both guys are talented, and I would go lean towards Figueroa, but I mean, it could go either way to me. The both guys, you know, they have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got one for you, Frank.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys saw the standoff this week with Isaac Cruz and Jose Valenzuela, Jose being taller and all that. That is one of the best standoffs I've seen in a long time because Isaac just does not play around. I mean, that man, he's just bad to the bone. But I would love to get both of your opinions on this one.
I was impressed that he was looking up to guys. He's about, 6 inches shorter. Looking right up the guy's nose, but he was meaner than hell when he was looking at it. I think you got a winner on that one.
Yes, sir. Z, what do you think?
Yeah, they one thing they say is stature only means something when you're in the field. when you're quartered off and was in the boxed off space, you tend to shrink a person down. So Cruz is pretty good. At times, he'll follow a guy trying to get his power off. But Cruz is also smart. He'll cut the ring off. He'll move his head. He'll parry punches until he's on the inside to let his power off. I think that Gonzalez. I'm not sure if Gonzalez is good enough to keep Cruz from doing what he wants to do. I just don't think, you know, it's footwork and what you want to do. If you can't, you know, if you don't have a game plan or you're just not talented or have a threat enough to deal with Cruz, you know, you don't stand a chance to me. Gonzalez, he might have some of that, but not enough to me. Not enough to keep Cruz. I'm not sure if it's going to be a knockout, but I just could see Gonzalez not offensively being effective enough, trying to survive at times, not being able to generate anything. You know, just not being able to get ahead of steam, not being able to stop what's going on. So, I have to pick Cruz in this one.
Okay. Let me ask both of you this. Do you think that Garcia will get a rematch with Tank Davis in the near future?
I think that from what Ryan said this week, if I'm not mistaken, I think he wasn't even going to bother with it. Or no, I'm sorry. No, that was Devin Haney. Yeah, he did mention something about Tank. He was also talking about Tank not hitting as hard as Devin. He said actually Devin Haney hit harder than Tank did, and he just seems to think that if he fights Tank again, he'll definitely beat him. And if he had a problem that first fight or something, maybe it was a lucky shot, I don't know. But if that's the case, I think Ryan Garcia could give Tank a run for his money this next time if they do fight.
Okay. Z?
I don't see them fighting again just because the weight. Tank's not moving up, I don't think, too much anytime soon. And Ryan Garcia is moving up very soon. He's moving up, so they're not going to match divisions, I don't think, ever again. I think Ryan Garcia right now, he's outgrown 140, he's going to go to 147, and I don't see Tank going near 147 at the moment. Now, if they did fight, it would be at a catch weight, I think. I don't think Ryan Garcia is going under 140. I don't think Tank is going really. I'm not sure if Tank's going back to 140. He might go against Ryan at 140, but there's going to be clauses where Ryan's not going to do what he did with Devin Haney. He's not going to come in against Tank 3 pounds heavier. I could see, they would have tried to make him lose at least 2 pounds. They would at least try to make him lose 2 pounds. That would have been a smart thing to do on Devin Haney's camp. Listen, 3 pounds over, at least lose two. At least lose 2 pounds. That way.
Another thing too is this week in the interviews, Tank was asked who has hit him the hardest out of all his fights, and he said Ryan Garcia by far was the hardest hitter. So, which explains why Haney went down the way he did, because if you watch his eyes in slow motion every time he got popped, he was looking left, right, up and down. He didn't know what was going on. So, but I agree with Z. I don't know if it'll happen, but if it does, that would be a great fight again.
It would, and if it did happen, weight for weight, I would never pick Ryan Garcia against Javante Davis. Ryan Garcia is just a little too limited. He has the one weapon, and when he tried to use it against Tank in their first fight, Tank smiled, and then he knocked him down. He smiled, and then he countered him. He smiled like, yeah, I got him, and then he proceeded to counter him as Ryan swung the left hook. Ryan has shown a little bit of adjustment in the Devin Haney fight, but he was able to. He was able to because Ryan could say Devin Haney hits harder than Tank. We all know how his body thinks about that. We all know physically his body doesn't believe that. So, but Ryan also has supreme confidence and his power. And we saw that it did work. It worked, and it worked because Devin Haney has technical flaws, unfortunately. He got clipped because he wants to throw a jab and keep his hand to his chest. So when Ryan,
right,
a longer guy, was able to reach him from distance with that left hook, his hand was out of position. He didn't have his hand there to block it. He didn't use his feet to slide out the way. He just he depended on his reactions. Ryan's too fast to depend on your reactions. You have to be on your technical game against a guy who's faster than your reactions. And that Devin Haney got clipped with that. I thought he got his head together, so he started winning rounds, which showed me he got his head back in the game, but he still didn't incorporate what Devin Haney does. He fought, and he was able to do what he was able to do because of Ryan Garcia. So I think that Ryan Garcia, him, and these guys have fought six times in the amateur. They kind of know each other to a certain extent. They kind of know each other's movements. What Devin Haney didn't know was Ryan's professional power. That's transcending. That transcended. So, I mean, as far as Tank Davis goes, I would like to see him and Ryan fight again, but I just don't see Ryan beating Tank. I see Tank always finding that shot on Ryan. And Tank, I mean, he's a guy who, as I say, once they see it, that's usually it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys are just about up against our time wall here. I want to thank both of you for being so well prepared, and it was another great show as far as I'm concerned. So thank you very much. Z, you want to lead us out?
Another wonderful show. Glad to be here. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Butch. Thank you, all my Fight Words family. These shows are in memory of Bob, Coach Mellon, Dr. Chris. Anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call.
Tony?
And thanks to Z for being here tonight, and you, First Frank, and enjoyed it. Looking forward to the upcoming fights we're going to have the remainder of the year. There's going to be a bunch of good ones, and I'm sure more to come after that. So at least the Saudis evidently are trying to put together a whole bunch of good fights and bringing them to the U.S. now and England. So I think we're going to see something we haven't seen in a long time. It's going to go back to like the 70s and 80s boxing, where we're going to have nothing but good matches again for a while. So anyways, I wish the best for Mr. Fernandez's wife, and hopefully she starts to feel better from the circumstances, and wish everybody a great weekend.
This is a sideline. If anybody's out there as a football fan, on Fox, they have the USFL USFL fight football tonight. There's two teams playing tonight. They're both playing at 7, one on ESPN and one on Fox. But it's excellent football. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation. Men with the United States Armed Forces and Men with Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and see somebody in uniform, please take the time to let them know you know they're there. Give them a smile, a handshake, or just thank them for their service, because being an all law enforcement officer in these days and times is the most dangerous job in the world. And we appreciate each and every one of them for protecting us. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Yaswit, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, Sergeant Tom Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Carpenter Springs Police Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Crystal Vake, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anofo Kristen, Lakeland PD, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Art Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Deputy Mike Hargrove, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department, Super Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Super Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Super Zachary Bain, Florida Highway Patrol, Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Police Department, Temple University Police Department,
Patrolman Armand Mendez still left the police department, so left the air police. And so my brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, but sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the road trays up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your fields, on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always. Keep you and your family in the hollow of his hand. Good night. God bless and have a great weekend.
County Dispatch 1999. All units be advised, 1999's response to its last emergency. May God rest his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed. Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.